I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. And if you're among the millions of Americans who's been ordering everything online you need to stay socially distanced, here's something to consider. Nearly 20,000 Amazon workers have contracted the coronavirus since the pandemic began, and so far 10 people have died. Those numbers stand in stark contrast to new television ads that feature a different side of the experience of being an Amazon worker.
To all of our Amazon retail heroes, on the floor, in the air, and behind the wheel, we want to thank you. We'll continue to do everything we can to keep you healthy, safe, and protected. The work you are doing means everything right now. Thank you.
As the holiday season approaches and more Americans are expected to order their gifts online, some Amazon workers across the country are attempting to organize for better working conditions. But that's had mixed results so far.
You know, business as usual. You know, and this is such a juggernaut of a company. You know, it's so hard to put a dent in their operations, even with all the boycott advocating that we've been doing. They put profits above people all the time. So once again, it's going to be a very busy, probably the most busiest peak season thus far for Amazon employees. I can only imagine.
That was Chris Smalls, an Amazon worker who says he was fired for trying to organize his colleagues at an Amazon warehouse in New York City. And we're going to hear more from Chris in a moment. We're talking about Amazon workers' unionization efforts and the company's response. Lauren Kaori Gurley is a staff writer at Motherboard, Vice's technology website. Lauren, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Tanzina. Thank you for having me.
What were the conditions for warehouses and workers at the peak of the pandemic, at least here in New York, back in March and April?
At the beginning of the pandemic, Amazon announced that it would be providing hazard pay to its workers. So $2 extra an hour. At Amazon, the minimum wage is $15 an hour. And they also announced that you could call out sick basically any time. But pretty quickly, lots of people got sick. So Amazon's warehouse in Staten Island was one of the first Amazon warehouses in the country to really take a hit. And I think one of the big problems that workers had was that they had no idea like how many people in their work site had tested positive. They were still positive. Like they'd get these text messages and phone calls that would sort of announce each time, but they wouldn't know, you know, what the name, I mean, for privacy reasons, Amazon didn't share the name of the person. And so they would have no idea like really if they had come into contact with them. So I think there was a lot of fear and a lot of questions that were unanswered. Workers really felt they wanted to hold Amazon accountable for sharing this data, and Amazon wasn't complying.
I mean, we know that back at the height of the pandemic, again, here in New York, because the pandemic is peaking across the country and other states right now, workers at Amazon wanted to strike. Have they gotten better working conditions right now?
There hasn't really been any, like, I guess there was a walkout on May 1st, which is May Day, but there hasn't really been any like massive strike across the country. There have been walkouts at individual facilities that are still going on. There was one a week or two ago in Minnesota, in Chicago, and there's been some in New York. Amazon, like I said, they cut off hazard pay like just as things were getting bad in the rest of the country, and they haven't reinstated it. Amazon loves to tout all of its health and safety measures it's taking, but I don't really feel like people feel more protected. They really are upset that they don't have that hazard pay, and you know that they're risking their lives and their families' lives, and if they live with anyone who's immunocompromised, lives. In addition to that, because of that, their mental health, sort of by showing up to work and they're not even, you know, they're like, Amazon can't even pay us $2 more. Like they did that for 2 months. You can choose to take a personal leave of absence, but in that instance, you're just not paid. So you have to be like financially secure in order to not show up to work. So I wouldn't say things have gotten better, no.
20,000 workers for Amazon have allegedly contracted COVID-19. What happens to those workers now?
So if you're able to prove that you've had COVID or that you have COVID, you get 2 weeks of paid leave, I believe. And a lot of people who get coronavirus, the effects of it on you last much longer than 2 weeks. And so people don't feel like that is sufficient. I think the part that Amazon, which is obviously the harder part about this, is that what if your family member gets COVID? I think there are a lot of other scenarios that are Amazon isn't accounting for in a way that makes workers feel safe.
Amazon workers have also tried to unionize. Lauren, where do those efforts stand?
As you can imagine, the injured people are working at such high rates, especially last week, which was Prime Day week. And then in the next few months during Cyber Monday, some of the like worst weeks in terms of productivity being super high and like workplace injuries, serious injuries doubling. And so as you can probably imagine, people really think that one of the best ways to improve their conditions is to unionize and to sort of create workplace protections, because Amazon hasn't been able to do that for them by having a contract that sort of lays out some of these things. So there is an active campaign in Staten Island that is with the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Union Store Union. There has never been, so no Amazon warehouse workers in the country and no Amazon workers anywhere in the country have unionized. But beyond that, there are, you know, smaller campaigns where unions are working with organizers or warehouse workers, not necessarily on an active campaign, but sort of leading up to that. So there's workers who have organized in Chicago, in the Chicago, greater Chicagoland. There are organized warehouse workers. I would say some of the best organized warehouse workers are in Minnesota. There's a group called the Awood Center, which is a sort of East African, mostly Somalian worker center. There are workers organizing in Sacramento, in the Inland Empire in California, which is sort of Amazon's hub in California. It's interior of Los Angeles. I think those are the big ones, but we're nowhere near having a union for Amazon workers.
Lauren Kaori Gurley is a staff writer at Motherboard. Lauren, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
We're continuing to talk about Amazon, and now a former Amazon worker. Chris Smalls worked for Amazon for just under 5 years and most recently worked at a facility in Staten Island. But when the COVID-19 pandemic reached their warehouse, Chris began organizing his fellow workers to demand better conditions. After staging a strike in late March, the company fired him for allegedly violating social distancing guidelines. Now, Chris joins me, and he's the founder of the Congress of Essential Workers. Chris, thanks for being with me.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
So, Chris, tell me a little bit about what the working conditions you experienced were like in the Staten Island facility here in New York.
You know, I've been with the company since 2015, opened up 3 buildings for them, started them from New Jersey, spent some time in Connecticut, and then I launched a building in Staten Island when it first opened up. You know, I've been with the company since I was a level 1 entry before I was promoted up to a supervisor role, so I know the ins and outs of what Amazon workers go to on a day-to-day basis. You know, I used to tell my new hires when they came into the building, you know, if you have a gym membership, you might want to cancel it, because it's definitely 10 hours of calisthenics. You know, you're up and down on ladders, you're pulling, you're reaching, you're walking miles on top of miles a day. It's ran on productivity. So what separates Amazon from its competitors is the fact that as soon as you clock in, you're on the clock until you clock out. So, you know, the working condition there, you know, was definitely strenuous on your body. And I always used to say that it was 90% mentally and 10% physical, because you have to mentally prepare yourself to come to work every day.
So you were there at the peak of the pandemic, which here in New York was around March. Why did you begin organizing? What were you starting to see, Chris?
So just taking me back down to late February, early March, I seen my coworkers and my employees get sick on a daily basis. I was just being a concerned supervisor and a concerned parent. You know, I have kids, twins at home, and, you know, I didn't want to bring this deadly virus home. And I'm watching the news and I'm seeing this virus sweep the nation. And as it transitioned into New York and New Jersey, we weren't doing anything as a company to protect ourselves. We weren't protected at all. We had no facial masks. We had no cleaning supplies. We had no real guidance on how to protect the workers that was coming there. So, you know, I went through the proper channels at first. You know, I went to my local HR and I'm like, hey, what are we doing to protect ourselves? And what about single parents? Can we stay home? And that was the only thing they really offered was, you know, to stay home if you feel sick. If you're, you know, you don't want to come to work, you can stay home without being reprimanded for. So it wasn't enough for me because, you know, as a supervisor working with these associates for 40, 50, 60 hours a week, they're my extended family too. So yes, I did stay home for a few days, but at the same time, I was thinking about everybody else that's coming in and out this building. It's 5,000 people. And New York became the epic center, like you mentioned, in March. And I'm like, what are they going to do? So when I noticed that they didn't really have a real plan, that's when I decided to take further action. I started fighting behind the scenes at first, though. I sent out emails to the health department, to the CDC of New York, to Governor Cuomo's office, you name it, I tried to do it. I tried to get some media involved. And when New York was the epic center, I didn't get anything. I didn't get any response. You know, everywhere was overwhelmed. So that forced me to take even more action. I returned back to work on March 24th. That's when we learned about our first case that happened in the building over a week and a half ago on March 11th. And I was like, that's very alarming that you're just now telling us. And what are we going to do? Are we closing the building down? And that's when I was told by my higher ups that we're not going to do anything and don't tell any of the employees anything. And that was the last time I worked for the company. I took my stance right then and there. An hour later, I left the building. I texted my manager that day, told him I'm not coming to work the rest of the week as a supervisor. You don't have to replace me. And when I came back to the building the following days, the rest of the week, I sat in the cafeteria off the clock for 10 hours a day on my own free will, telling all the employees that I came in contact with the truth, that Amazon didn't want y'all to know that you're possibly working next to somebody with this virus. That definitely started up a little organizing right there. I got some groups to walk with me to the general manager's office, voice our concerns all week. And at the end of the week, they decided to just quarantine me. And I knew right then and there, when they quarantined me and nobody else, not even my my person that I ride to work with, my friend that I ride to work with, I knew that I was being targeted to be silenced, to stop organizing workers and stop telling the truth.
Chris, you were fired from Amazon, at least, you know, because in your opinion, because you were organizing. You've now started the Congress of Essential Workers. What is that?
Yes. The Congress of Essential Workers, this group that I founded throughout the course of my journey, it pretty much came together around May 1st. It's a collective of workers, former, current Amazon employees, some are other essential workers. You know, they have different talents and they come from different corporations. Some are teachers, some are students, some are just regular people. You know, this group came together when they pretty much believe in the fight that I was fighting against the company, and they decided to just join forces with me. And on May 1st was our first demonstration as a collective. We did a nationwide protest against Amazon on May Day, and that resulted into Tim Bray, one of the VPs of Amazon AWS, the top VP at the time, engineer, he resigned. And that's when I knew that, you know, the power of people and the power of organizing workers was really working. And our, you know, it was small victories mattered for us. So one thing I would like to highlight as well, you know, a week after I was fired, Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world, you know, he had a meeting about me with his top general counsel, David Sapolsky. And in that meeting, a leaked memo that came out and hit the media was, Jeff Bezos was trying to run a smear campaign on me that he signed off on, saying that I was not smart or articulate, and to make me, ironically, to make me the face of the whole union effort, union organizing efforts against Amazon. They gave me a great idea by saying that, but just to know that this man, the richest man in the world, was really going to try to run a smear campaign on me, really motivated me to really continue the fight that I have till this day. And I was able to find this amazing group of people. We've been able to organize with other alliances across coalitions across the country. Once again, our vision as an organization is to get enough workers' power, starting with the workforce of Amazon, who has 600,000 nationwide, get this workers' power behind us so we can negotiate a rank and file democracy, something like a union-like structure where we're now negotiating our demands that we want, you know, $30 an hour minimum wage, free Medicare, childcare, you know, PPE to be provided by the company at all time. Hazard pay. We're still dealing with this pandemic and Amazon took away the $2 hazard pay. We want that back. And we also want, you know, overtime for any hours over 40. And we want to have paid medical leave, something that they don't have unless you get the virus and you get, you know, quarantine pay, which is only a percentage. So it's not enough. There's a, and ultimately, we want to absolutely have a wealth tax on the 1% in the country, starting with Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world.
Chris, I'm wondering, in terms of the holiday season is going to be approaching us very soon. People have already been using and relying on Amazon while they quarantine and during this pandemic more so than they probably have ever in the past. And I can't imagine what the holidays are going to look like this year as more people rely on Amazon instead of having, you know, actually going to visit friends and family. What do you think the holiday season is going to look like for Amazon workers this year?
Well, the same as always, you know, business as usual, you know, and this is such a juggernaut of a company, you know, it's so hard to put a dent in their operations, even with all the boycott advocating that we've been doing. You know, they put profits above people all the time. So once again, it's going to be a very busy, probably the most busiest peak season thus far for Amazon employees. I can only imagine, you know, they're on mandatory overtime as we speak. They're just getting out over Prime Day, and it's going right into the holiday season. So I feel sorry for them, you know, because I know what they're going through. You know, they're working an extra day, or they're working an extra 2 days, or they're working an extra hour of their shift. So it's 10 hours. They're working 11 hours. So they're taking time away from people's families and just to be a service of other people, which is good as well. But at the same time, you know, to what expense? You know, you're putting a strain on your body, like I mentioned, and you're also possibly putting yourself at risk. You know, this virus is very much still here. The numbers are still spiking. The numbers are still in the building as well. The numbers, you know, there's still text that's being sent out on a daily basis saying that somebody contracted this virus, who they failed to actually disclose. You know, they failed to disclose the amount of people that's in these facilities that have this virus. They just released 6 months later the actual numbers, which I believe is way watered down. That is 20,000.
You're talking
employees.
About the 20,000 people, Chris, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, and that's very watered down. There's no way out of 600,000 you're telling me only 20,000. I don't believe that. It's way higher than what they're saying. So it's a very scary situation for workers right now. I can guarantee that.
Chris Smalls is a former Amazon worker and the founder of the Congress of Essential Workers. Chris, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me anytime.
And we should note that Amazon has defended their stance on workers' conditions in the past, saying, quote, "We take this matter seriously, and it's important to us that our associates feel safe and supported. And if we find any occurrence where this has not been the case, then we will make it right." And we also reached out to Amazon for comment on this story, and their statement will be online at thetakeaway.org if we receive it.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.